Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
The only thing that Transformers had going for in Louis DeGeorge's life is when I was 18 years old, Megan Fox was in that movie, and oh my god, 18-year-old Louis was a big fan of Megan Fox. Now,
not in my hat. I'm going hair.
Yeah, today. Leave the hair, buddy.
Leave the hair. Let your freak flag fly, let's baby. All right. First things first, I just want to tell everybody, I read the comments. I appreciate the love for Ruby. As promised, she is no longer with us. I miss her terribly. I was not going to do the podcast this week, but just like Tay-Tay, I can do it with a broken heart. Let's go, boys. Whoa. Welcome to May the Zoobie with you, America's most Tay-Tay, number one album in the world podcast. Congrats, Tay-Tay. I am, of course, joined by Tay-Tay's number one hater. They call him Slow Joe himself, Josh.
They call you Slow Joe?
Did anybody get any villain, of those references?
That's one of the villains in the album.
Well, at least I'm a villain on an album that isn't doing that great.
He's got the shirt on.
Yeah, not doing that great. Only the number one album in the world that overtook, let me see, who did she overtake? Oh, yeah, herself. Herself. Double goated.
In the past.
God, no wonder you like LeBron James so much. I love people who can't win. And I am, of course, joined by the other villain, Maddie Healy. You're not that bad, Louie. Even I can't be that mean to you. I am sorry, Louie. I apologize. That was over the line.
No, it's...
Nobody deserves that. Louie DeGeorge, I apologize. There we go. You're not Matt Healy.
And we are joined by... Did they make you a custom-sized Taylor Swift shirt that would fit you? Because for Swifties, there's no shot that they just have your size available for all those 13-year-old girls.
They had fat sizes, and I will say... I ordered larger than I normally order because I was like, there's no way they're not slimmed down. This is a big shirt on me.
It looks good though. It's cool.
Of course. It's comfy. It's amazing. It feels great.
Is it green colored?
We are joined by Taylor Swift's oldest fan, George.
We did the math on this together on the phone. 45% of her listeners are my age.
We did do this. I didn't get into the gender demographics. I wanted to avoid that search. I don't want to know.
I'm woke. All right, everyone.
We are going to talk about all things. I am so excited today. Bye, George. It gets better, buddy. I promise it gets better.
By the way, George is not that excited, apparently.
We're going to talk about the Hasbro earnings call. How did he get that off so fast? How did you get that off so fast?
What, do you have a weekend job that none of us know about? Because that was talented. That was impressive.
We're going to talk about the Hasbro earnings call. We'll talk about the Asmodee spinoff and what it means for the industry.
Brilliant spinoff I've seen in a long time. I will give a shout out to Asmodee. Mainly to their parent company.
We're going to talk about fake sorcery cards.
Oh my God. Wait, are the fakes going to print more than one set a year?
The fakes are the second set.
They could do one set of fakes a year.
The fakes are the unlimited cards.
Sorcery one-year anniversary edition.
They have white borders with Louis' face on it. This is happy one-year anniversary to sorcery.
We, after a long time, finally have an update from Cryptic. We haven't talked about Cryptic because we haven't had an update from Cryptic in a long time. Yeah, so now that we have
information. Your pump and dump is complete. You never talk about it again.
We, more importantly than anything on this podcast, have a letter from Metazoo. A letter.
This is more important, George.
Metazoo is first.
Lorcana can't figure out event sizing. Got it. Figured it out.
No, we end on the Lorcana minute now. Metazoo's dead, but we have a letter from Metazoo.
From Mike?
No, maybe.
Are you doxing someone with
it's
that?
From somebody? This letter is from somebody.
Can you stop showing the address of the letter?
It's my address. You can send anything you want to that address, everybody. Oh,
okay.
I'll take all your stuff.
Okay. Spoiler, they're all going to be
your home address.
Anyway, this is a letter from somebody who made Metazoo cards.
Like an artist or like a Chinese person?
It's a spoiler. You'll see. And then we're going to talk about Gokana. All right.
Is Metasu going to do more than one set a year?
Esser, the dead TCG. Who's going to make more sets this year? Cryptic and Metazoo or Sorcery?
Oh my god, it's going to be Cryptic and Metazoo combined. It's going to absolutely be them.
All right. Let's get into the Hasbro earnings call. George, set it up for us, buddy.
All right. So it was a pretty wild earnings report. You want to go over the good, the bad, or the ugly?
I want Start you to with give the us ugly. The big picture first.
Let's
make some content.
Let's really get into it this week, George.
Yeah.
Okay. So overall, they cleared out a lot of inventory. The market seemed to love that. They cleared out a lot of their dead inventory. It seems like most of the inventory wasn't in Magic. It was in other stuff. But the market really liked that they were clearing out dead inventory. That was a big thing for them. So for Wizards of the Coast specifically, revenues increased 7%. This was mainly driven by licensed digital gaming revenue of Baldur's Gate 3 and Monopoly Go.
I love that.
Somebody here has been saying that online games are the only way to go for a long time. Tabletop revenue increased 5% behind growth in Magic the Gathering. There was some thought that it was mainly in the Fallout Commander set was kind of the Wall Street's take on this. It was Fallout Commander set was the reason that they hit those numbers. Importantly, Wall Street seemed to not care that much about that because they had an extra set this year compared to last quarter, this quarter last year. And so there's some question about like what those numbers actually mean. And importantly, I'll get into this in a minute, but Hasbro did not alter their projections for the year. They still expect Magic to sell 5-7% less over the entire year. Which will mean that they expect the rest of the year to be pretty ugly if they oversold this quarter by 5% and they expect a 5% decrease.
That's so interesting. That's such an interesting expectation with Modern Horizons 3 coming out.
I have some thoughts on that.
Yep.
Operating profit increased 60% and operating profit margin of 38.8% due to higher digital licensing revenue mix of revenues. Higher digital licensing revenue mix and cost management.
So that means that the
Baldur's Gate 3 crushed it. Monopoly Go crushed it. And they fired a lot of people.
Okay.
And, you know, listen, like Wall Street seemed to like that a lot.
Yeah, the stocks, I mean, up today, as a avid owner in Hasbro stock, I mean.
Shareholder disclosure.
I own so much, you guys. I need to disclose this.
Is that the only stock that the three of us own?
Oh, we all three own it? I got to sell it then. I can't be on your two sides.
Yeah, I haven't put you on the side,
George,
of Arcana.
That means hold on. It's going to the
moon. Yeah, absolutely.
If I sold now, I lose, so I don't sell until I'm at least even.
You don't lose until it's zero. You, Louie.
If I'm going to lose, I'm going to go all down. If it's a TCG-related thing, right? So, like, why sell when it's up?
So, do you want me to go over the rest of it, or do you want to tackle what I guess?
Let's tackle first? Some stuff. I want to tackle can we go into them anticipating a lower amount of sales in this next quarter?
So importantly, that's not what they're saying. They're not saying it'll be lower next quarter. They're saying it'll be lower over the next three quarters.
Over the rest of the year. So this was quarter one, right?
This is quarter one.
Specifically point out, Chris Cox was asked a question about it and specifically pointed out Q4 as a potential weak quarter for Magic.
That kind of makes sense. There's no like major stuff coming out.
Any more tentpoles. The big takeaway for me was that this is quickly figuring out that the money's online. That's where the money is. That's where the margins are. You need less staff for higher revenue. There's a reason that they said they're basically taking everything they can and reinvesting it into IP and into online gaming. Monopoly Go and what was the big surprises this quarter, Josh? What was the big thing that crushed it this quarter? Do you remember?
What, like the one big thing that crushed it this quarter?
There's one IP they had that crushed everything else.
I don't know what you're bringing up.
Furby.
Gonna say starts with an F and second letter's U.
Yeah,
that was gonna be good. You stole a good joke from me.
Well, that's the one for the semester. For the
I
season,
know. Boy, I boys. Only get one, and you stole it.
Believe me, I know. We all know. The Furbies crushed it. And Monopoly Go crushed it. Gotta say, not surprised by Monopoly Go. A little surprised by Furby's making a comeback. Not gonna lie.
the Monopoly Go crushing it does
the tap tap game.
Like whenever we think about digital games on this podcast, I go to like they need to do Magic Arena better, and so, they need to do some sort of like RPG focused magic game, right? Like a, I always thought it would be amazing if they could do Skyrim level Magic the Gathering video game. It would do wonders for the IP and the brand and the game. Like I think it would do so good. I think it'd be really cool.
So,
but, sorry, can't finish.
No, you mentioned you would think it's Arena. They addressed Arena specifically, and something I think you would think is interesting, Louis, is Chris Cox pointed to some of the big growth that Magic's been seeing is not due to Arena, not due to the MTGO, but it's the social aspect. They called it the social aspect of Magic the Gathering, and they pointed directly to Commander in paper.
Sure. Yeah.
So when asked about Arena, he said, we recognize that a major key factor to Magic's recent growth has been the paper social aspect. Mm. And it was weird to hear because we all think the same thing, right? Online gaming is popping off. Online gaming is obviously very big.
I don't feel that way about Arena. I think we've argued about that a couple of times. Like I don't know very many people who actively play Arena, but I'm also mostly hanging out with people who play Magic in a game store because I own a game store.
I mean, like the future of digital isn't, you know, it's not in games like Magic the way we play it. It's in tap games. It's in Monopoly Go. Yeah.
Well, and like what I was going to bring up is that Pokemon's doing this new game this year, right? Which is like a lighter version of the. I know they dumbed down the Pokemon game.
Did you hear that Tay Tay mentioned it in her new album?
No, I did not. She mentioned Pokemon or the
new Pokemon? It was a song called Down Bad, and I was like, oh, that's about Pokemon, guaranteed. It's like, you know, it's like Tay Tay's like Down Bad. I saw the Pikachu.
God, how many times will George sing on this episode?
I loved this album.
But my point
masterpiece.
Being
masterpiece.
Something that they could, I think, lean into, and they've tried to do this with, like, wasn't Duels of the Planeswalkers? Wasn't that an app a long time ago, Josh?
Was that before Arena? Didn't that have a CD to it?
Well, there's also an app. Maybe they just ported the CD onto a mobile game type thing.
Maybe.
But doing some form of Marvel Snap, right? Like a super popular quick-paced game that has the Magic mechanics, has the Magic IP, has the feel of Magic, introduces you to the Magic card. Like that could do really cool stuff and also generate revenue because that seems to be what the larger audience wants is some sort of fast-paced game like that. But
Tay-Tay's album was the fastest growing album of all time.
I listened
Marvel
to like the
Snap
first
was the fastest growing card game on that form.
I listened to the first two songs of the Taylor Swift album. I just like I couldn't get through it.
Yeah.
Crap, actual fans depressing and boring and actual long.
Fans happy.
Two tasteless people don't understand tasteful music. Find out more at 11,
actual
I guess. I don't
Taylor Swift fans not happy. People with heavily invested Disney stock and things, you know, that might be driving their opinions.
Fastest to a billion listens, 313 million streams in the first 12 hours.
Misery Loves Company, though, I guess. Like, if you want to sell Misery Loves Company, I don't understand how the girl is so depressed. She has everything in the world.
Tell me you didn't listen to the song Prophecy without telling me you didn't listen to the song Prophecy.
It must be
I'll just tell you I didn't listen to the song Prophecy.
She thinks about this in Prophecy.
Must
she says,
so tough.
She says, God, just let me take away the money. Just find me somebody who wants to be near me. That's the prophecy she wants.
She could support this podcast as a sponsor.
I think she has listened to this podcast.
I don't know if I
think
she
loves this podcast.
We already have a sponsor lined up for next month. So,
it's a choice. Yeah. And it's a choice for a new generation.
Tay-Tay, I want you to know we'll have two sponsors if you get them DMs. We will find room for another sponsor.
I'll take Posty. I'll say the only saving grace of the Taylor Swift album.
The only saving grace.
Yeah. Is that Posty was there and he was you could tell in that song, Posty was like, hey Taylor, please pump my magic bag.
Did you see the diss?
No.
Oh my God. So he was on Beyonce's album too, right?
Okay.
And he wrote a one sentence, thank you, Beyonce, for having me on your album line. For the GOAT, for Tay Tay. Dude writes a paragraph calling her a once in a generation talent. And this was a once in a generation opportunity.
Do you have to disclose Disney? Do you have to disclose your Disney stock position during the entire conversation?
If you don't know about Disney,
I feel like you have to.
Taylor Swift owned by Disney?
No, her tour is streamed on Disney, and none of her tour actually contains this album. Unfortunately, not yet. Not yet. Maybe next time.
I don't think they'll put it on there. They don't want to depress all the kids.
Who's afraid of little old me? You should be.
Nobody's afraid of Taylor Swift.
She's the most powerful woman in the world.
No, that's sad. If who's that's true,
I thought about this today. Name one woman more powerful than Tay Tay.
I don't know.
Any like,
able to argue Angela Merkel.
That swimmer with the questionable win. I don't know. What?
Like, she's the most powerful woman in the world.
What about that basketball
girl? Now that Cynthia Williams is gone, there's no competition.
What about the basketball girl?
Clayton Clark?
Sure.
No. Caitlin Clark ain't selling out arenas. She ain't got that in her.
Right. She might.
No more Taylor Swift.
She's selling out stadiums, not arenas.
She's banished. She's out.
Yeah, banned. Yeah, we'll see how long that lasts, boys. Don't worry.
So Hasbro stock's up 11%.
To the moon, baby. We should add that we're filming this on Wednesday night.
Is that...
That seems like an important addition.
Is that good or bad for the future of Magic the Gathering? This year.
The stock being up 11%?
Yeah, like the market's reaction to that. Is this because I'll let you guys answer. I'll tell you.
The market's reacting to Hasbro, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not just Wizards of the Coast. I think Magic's in a good spot. I think they had a lot of nothing to say. Things are pretty much exactly where we thought they would be. The one thing that I thought was interesting is Chris Cox, every opportunity he was given, constantly reminded people like, hey, our latest set, good set. Remember, some of those earnings from that set we're seeing here. Kind of saying, this might be juiced a little bit. It felt like that's the vibe I was getting. Yeah, that he was getting that Outlaws of Thunder Junction, there are a portion of OTJ sales represented in this earnings call, and it's technically a Q2 set. And he seemed to mention that almost any opportunity he got, which leads me to believe, he's worried about Q2. He wants to be able to call back and say, hey, when numbers are a little low, remember, some of that is from here.
Technically Q2, is it only Outlaws and Modern Horizons 3?
Yeah, but Modern Horizons 3, the expectation across the board is Modern Horizons 3 is going to carry a lot of that load.
Go ahead.
My rep, George, you know who I'm talking about. He was very much excited about Modern Horizons 3 when I asked him today. I was like, tell me what you know about Modern Horizons 3. He's like, dude, this set's going to be so great.
Greg, I know exactly what you're talking about when you said dude. When you said dude, I immediately knew which rep you were talking about.
He was like, dude, Modern Horizons 3. He's like, everyone's kind of sleeping on it right now.
Oh,
it's definitely going to be really good.
He says that about every Pokemon set, and I believe him every Pokemon set, that I carry his freaking bags up the mountaintop.
Is that why you have warehouses full of Pokemon?
Yes. It's like, dude, this set, they're going to short print it. Spoiler.
Well, you could short print a Pokemon set right now by about 100%, and it wouldn't matter in the market.
Those boys, they just break their favorite toys.
I have
no idea what that means.
Yeah, I don't know.
That it follows.
I think that, I think Modern Horizons 3, has to be
good. Imagine we have a Commander Master situation.
I still think we were all negative about Commander Masters, and validly, like, the price was really obnoxiously high. But, like, everything's rebounding right now. And all the people who are buying boxes from my distro, like, access thing on Discord, KitchenTableTCG.com, everybody. The highest selling thing for me, Commander Masters draft boxes and Commander Masters collector boxes. Set boxes, we were all right about. Like, that is...
Not all of us. Not all of us, buddy.
George is wrong.
Not all of us were right about set boxes.
The draft EV is absolutely nuts.
God, EV.
And the collector box is also doing really good.
So another important part about the Hasbro earnings is that they beat revenue by 2%. But beat earnings by 114%.
Beat revenue by 2%.
2% and earnings by 115%, basically. They fired everybody. Now they get to pay. Now they get the dividends of firing everybody.
Yeah.
Mainly you do as a fat cat capital holder.
This is you also
Yeah, I was about to say.
This is where I feel like some of the stuff, like, to me, doesn't actually matter because they're just pumping the numbers, right? Like, they're just making. Like,
You're like, wait, that doesn't mean the numbers are fake.
I mean, the numbers are accurate, but like they don't represent like things are really going. They did a good job at painting a picture that makes them look good. When in reality, I don't know.
So here's what I would say. I think that's a fair critique as a Magic the Gathering lover.
Yeah.
As a shareholder, I don't think that's a fair take. They're clearly becoming more efficient at producing product, right, which is good if you're a shareholder. Maybe not so good if you're a Magic lover.
What?
My lover.
What would
shout out to the older Tay Tay albums?
Are we still on the team of like they need to branch off?
I want to talk about that when we get to Asmodee because Asmodee did Big Brain.
I think there's a whole segment. There's a sneaky second Magic segment later in this podcast.
No, I have other takes on. I have other information. So consumer products for Hasbro revenue went down 7% to 12%, with 4 points of the decline coming from business shifting to an outlicense model, operating margin from 4% to 6%.
I'm going to do the George segment thing right now. Watching you read this is really good content, George.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm trying to provide some context information on our main topic.
When Josh and I do that.
You can do it in a way more exciting fashion than whatever it is you're doing. Exciting. Is this your class?
My class is great. My class is GOAT.
This is what it's like to go to Harvard.
I was about to say, I'm starting to get why it might not pop off.
Ooh. Wizards of the Coast revenue, they still expect revenue to be down 3 to 5%. Now, they did say they expect the operating margin to go 38 to 40%, which they were in line with this segment, this quarter. So, I mean, again, that tells you that they think that they're not going to have to hire anybody that they fired, basically. They're okay running lean and mean. And I think that's super important if you're a Magic
fan. Weren't they anticipating more layoffs, though? Wasn't that part of the original layoffs? Was that by the end of this year they were going to lay off a bunch more people?
They might. I mean, like, that doesn't mean they're not. But I mean, it means like they don't expect the margins to drastically increase.
Gotcha.
They wrote down a bunch of stuff. For what it's worth, I left thinking that they're going to deprioritize Magic a little bit going forward.
Really?
I did. I think that like a lot of the WotC revenue came from non-Magic the Gathering, and that's just a lot easier to reproduce. And so like I don't think they're going to kill Magic. I'm not saying anything that crazy or stupid, but I do think it will not shock me if they start moving more people.
They can't milk their golden goose any longer.
I mean, like the golden goose isn't producing golden eggs. The golden goose is now Monopoly Go. it's Baldur's Gate. It's Cynthia Williams.
Did they mention anything about Cynthia Williams?
Not really.
No.
In the report, I think they said adios, but you know, gotcha. Who cares? They should have wrote it on a typewriter, like the Torture's Poets Department. And
what does that mean?
There's no shot that she wrote that thing on a typewriter.
Wow, you really know nothing about Tay Tay.
The
typewriter is not a typewriter. It's about a person.
Oh, my God.
This is the 14th night after the 13 like midnights.
You know, I guess I should be more understanding that George has done nothing in the last week but sit in his house and
listening to the Tay Tay album on repeat has not helped the depression of losing my dog very much. I will be honest with you.
I feel for you.
Give you that credit.
I feel for you, and I will choose to be with you rather than make fun of you.
I don't feel as bad about that text I sent you from the gym anymore, Louis. I don't feel nearly as bad. I feel better.
What are you saying?
Nothing. Don't worry about it.
Worry about it.
What's between me and that guy? All right.
I think they're looking at licensing opportunities far more than anything else right now. And they're also like, they got to get rid of this dead stock. And like,
well, they're obviously printing a lot less. Like, this is where things start lining up. You got Ixalan, which is Ixalan boxes are collector boxes.
$350 for a collector box. Yeah.
They are the price of Lost Cavern or of Lord of the Rings.
They're the price of owning a Lost Cavern.
Yeah. It's wild. Like, that's absolutely wild. You're starting to see Wilds of Eldraine. They must have, you know, they started there. You're starting to see where this kind of lined up with their revenue from Wizards of the Coast going down. So It makes sense. I think it's actually makes you a little bullish on the pace of or the pace of sellout rate, I guess, for Magic product this year. Makes me feel pretty good about hopefully going heavy on MH3, which I'm gonna do. So I'm going big on MH3. Not like it will cripple my business for good big, but like, remember when I was pretty stressed about Lord of the Rings special edition?
No.
We're gonna go at least that big, probably double.
I mean, that makes, if you were to say I'm gonna put my chips on one of these spaces and one was Lord of the Rings special edition, the other is Modern Horizons 3, I think you're going with the right one.
Sometimes though, I just feel like there should be a point in this whole owning a business thing where I don't feel like I'm putting chips on anything. And I actually feel like I know what I'm doing, but you know, that time is not here. No. So we're still gambling.
Okay. All right. Ready to talk about Embracer?
Oh, is that the Asmodee? Cool. I thought you had more to say about this one, but cool. All right. Up next is Asmodee spinoff. Can we tell everybody who Asmodee is? Because people might not know.
Asmodee is a game that produces Louis's newest Pump and Dump.
That is not all they are.
No, I'm sorry. They
are,
distribute. They distribute Louis's newest Pump and Dump. I apologize.
They are one of the largest, right, in the world.
I believe game. They might be the largest.
Yeah, they are like the largest board game manufacturing
company. I would say largest distributor, but that could also be true.
Yeah, they own a ton of the Settlers of Catan. They own a ton of the light IPs and licenses of your favorite board games that you see in stores. Then they also are obviously they own Fantasy Flight Games. They picked that up 2 years ago or 3 years ago, and so now they are producing for Star Wars. Not the Empire Strikes Back. Star Wars.
Unlimited?
Unlimited. Thank you.
There you go. Got you.
I try to avoid the word unlimited on this podcast because it gets all the feathers. I love dry. The
word unlimited. And I could do it for every game.
Oh my gosh. I had a million comments on my video about not doing a first edition or a beta. That's why they called it Star Wars Unlimited. Don't you know what unlimited means, idiot? And I wanted to be like, oh, all too well. Oh. I know it so well.
That's a terrible take. Dude, I got to say, love the Star Wars fans who listen to the podcast. I'm not talking about you, but the Star Wars audience on the rest of the people who don't listen to the podcast, they're a little wild in the comment section. They don't
know. Really, those who watch my channel are goated though.
Yeah. Anyway, they also are producing and making, licensing, I guess it would be, Altered, which is this next game that's coming up.
And Louis next Pump and Dump.
No.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I don't think I'm gonna do Altered at like
hard. Nobody believes you. Where the attendees go, the passion follows. See Star Wars, see Sorcery.
I can promise you that. Here's what I can promise you with Altered. Here's what I promise you with Altered. Mm-hmm. I will open up quite a few boxes.
There we go.
Trying to get those NFT, not NFT cards.
There we go.
I don't know if you'll see that on the channel or not.
Spoiler, depends on the price.
Yeah. It depends on the views.
Spoiler.
Doesn't matter. The money doesn't matter.
Well, the views and the money are pretty tightly coupled.
Sure. I'm a big fan of eyeballs, though. So if the eyeballs are there, you may see it. Yeah.
Same.
Anyway, that's who Asmodee is, everybody. So they just put out a thing that they got. You got George, tell us. You know more about this than we do.
As always. More about everything, basically. So Embracer bought Asmodee in 2022. I know what you're asking. What is Embracer? Great question, class. Embracer is basically a hedge fund type structure that buys nerd stuff. And I did not know this. They're actually relatively a big deal. The biggest thing they're known for, other than Asmodee, is they own a lot of the Lord of the Rings. They're in charge of a lot of the Lord of the Ring licenses.
Wow. Okay.
And so they're splitting off.
Are they in charge of the Lord of the Rings license?
So
which would be the TCG one?
Yes. They help facilitate it, is the thought, which I think is interesting, but that's a different topic. So they are splitting into three companies, and that's important. I'm going to get into why that's important in a minute. The first one is Asmodee, which Louis just wonderfully explained what Asmodee was. The second one is Coffee Stain and Friends, which is a bunch of like weird companies. And the third one is Middle Earth Enterprises and Friends, which is mainly Lord of the Rings and I believe, Tomb Raider is the other big license they have.
That doesn't seem like that big of a license anymore, to be honest with you.
It comes and goes. It feels like it comes and goes.
Gotcha.
Okay. So they did, I think, one of the most interesting breakups in the world. I thought this was actually freaking brilliant. Asmodee has the easiest to borrow against stuff, right? They have actual licenses for games. They have distribution contracts. They have things that are easy to value, things that are relatively liquid. And so what Embracer did is they said, here's the deal. We got to split up. We got to get y'all into three different corners. I'm going to basically put all of my debt on Asmodee before I separate you out. And I did not realize this either. That seemed relatively necessary as they were basically not in a great spot. Let me pull this up.
Who was not in a great spot?
Embracer.
Embracer. Not Asmodee. Embracer.
Asmodee. I think Asmodee's in a tricky spot. So the loan that they got from Asmodee will be used to refinance Embracer's existing $733 million in debt, which need to be repaid by February 2025. And to shrink the group's revolving credit facilities, which is basically an overdraft of $92 million. Okay. So they have $820 in loans, and they borrowed $900 million against Asmodee.
Let's pause. I want to tell the audience why this is important for this podcast.
I wasn't getting to that in a minute, but you can tell them now.
GameGenic is one of my number one selling...
it's goat tier
deck boxes and it's goat and tier. Sleeves.
Yeah,
it is tier. It's by tier. Far the deck box that I try to sell the most, and whatever GameGenic products are great. That's owned by Asmodee. Star Wars Unlimited is a game that we've talked about quite a bit on the
My podcast. Hero Academia, also Asmodee.
That is also Asmodee. But there are TCGs and stuff that matter for this. And one of the things I kept seeing today pop up is in the Star Wars Facebook group, of which I frequent very often,
the attendees so go the was and follows
was the idea that is this going to kill the Star Wars game? That was a big discussion. So I just want to tell people why we're talking about this. Yeah. It's not just because we like talking about business stuff, but
so let me go over the debt structure if that's okay. I know there's a little bit down to the weeds, but I think it's important. Then we'll get into how it, I think it affects us.
Listen, I get it, man. You've been listening to Taylor Swift for a week. You're depressed. You're not on your game.
Definitely on my game. This is amazing information for those of you who understand. For those of you who can count, this is great content. For Louis, not so much.
Yeah. For those of you that listen to Taylor Swift, hang on. It'll get exciting again here in a minute.
So the other two companies, the Coffee and the Middle Earth, they each have a 0.6% debt ratio, so they can cover their debts in basically half a year of profits.
Okay.
For Asmodee, it's more than 3.9. they use some tricky accounting to get to 3.9 because that's good for banks, but it looks like the basic guess is that it's actually more than 3.9. so the next 4 years, if they do the same number of revenue, same number of profit would have to go to the, would go to the debt to pay it down. That's a lot of debt. That's a lot of debt.
Sure.
Yeah. So let me explain why I think this happened, how I think this affects the TCG market, and what I think actually is the biggest takeaway that nobody's talking about yet.
That was a good YouTube intro. You should start a YouTube channel. Should like channel that, right last, there. That last 7 seconds right there, nailed it, bud.
Yeah. So I do. So I do think it will affect Star Wars, not in a positive way. I don't think it will kill the game. They're going to have to pump some, they're going to have to print some boxes. Like, this is a lot of debt for a company that doesn't have the greatest track record in TCGs.
Hold on, though. Let me address that, because I knew this was coming for you. Let me address that.
Good. Address
it. They certainly knew this was going to happen more than 10 days ago or a month ago.
Yes.
Like, this is a thing that they must have been planning for a while.
Well, Embracer was. It's unclear when Asmodee knew.
They're not gonna they're not gonna be like, oh, sorry, here we go, Asmodee. Here's
all of our debt. You are the champion of people in the same company can't talk to each other.
I mean, that's not true at all. That is absolutely such true.
That's your whole Wizards of the Coast take. That's your whole magic design.
That's fair. I have said that. My point being, though, that like, if they were like, hey, Asmodee, you're going to have to take this. You're going to have to print a ton of Star Wars boxes. You can take this because you can just print a bunch of Star Wars boxes.
I don't think that's
probably happened. They probably would have done that with the first Star Wars set. Like, they probably would have done that.
They wouldn't have to do a 7-minute video saying,
Sorry, we messed up.
I'm just saying, if you're a fan of Star Wars,
you wrap the boxes, though.
If you're a fan of Star Wars and you have Asmodee, who's already been known to overprint one or two TCGs in their day, this probably is not the news you wanted to wake up to.
So you
this doesn't paint a rosier picture for Asmodee.
You keep saying that Asmodee has a track record of overprinting TCGs. This is words that keep coming out of your mouth.
Yeah,
your track record on that.
Do you want to buy some My Hero Academia?
No, but that's not like
they I'll tell you a cost.
They didn't just overprint My Hero Academia.
You're right. They comically overprinted it.
Maybe, but it's got more problems than just the overprinting.
Yeah, that was the big one.
No, the game wasn't good. The IP sucked.
The IP sucked?
Yes. The IP is not good. Not for a TCG. Like, I don't know, man. Like, I think
that's clear you don't know. You didn't have to say that part out loud. We all knew that already.
But
I don't know, man. I think you're off base on this one.
Who?
Because listen, I know when the attendees go, both of you all follow. But like, come on, y'all, this is not good news. If you're
a buddy, there's no attendees for me.
See, I disagree. I think this is actually good news for Star Wars.
How is this good news for Star Wars?
Because they believe that Asmodee will be able to create, like, they believe in Asmodee enough to say Asmodee.
Let's settle it with debt.
Did they sold it? They spun it off.
They saddle it with debt.
Oh, I thought you said sold it. Yeah, they believe that Asmodee is strong enough of a company and has strong enough brands and IPs behind it in order to handle that debt.
Like that they had to put it somewhere. They picked the place that they think is going to earn the money.
Yeah.
I also have some Transformers TCG if you want some of that, Louis, too. I should have added that. I'm sorry if you want that one.
I love it's that dead. You just fat fingered that to figure it's, out it's, what that
it's
was.
Dead. It's dead now, but if you want some of that, I got that too. Like, I'm sorry.
That. I love that.
Not a good IP. Not a good IP. I understand. I'm sorry. That's my fault.
I don't think Transformers is that great of an IP. I'm not going to lie to you. Transformers, the only thing that Transformers had going for in Louis DeGeorge's life is when I was 18 years old, Megan Fox was in that movie. And oh my God, 18-year-old Louis was a big fan of Megan Fox. Now she kind of looks like an alien. Not going to lie. Is that true? Yeah,
didn't her and Machine Gun Kelly get the rings that like dig into your skin that you can't take off?
Don't love that. And they also have a video of them being like, we drink each other's blood, but it's
what?
They're like, we drink each other's blood, but it's not weird. It's a relational thing, you know. It's like I'm like, oh, I think it's kind of weird. To be honest,
some counseling.
Yeah. It was less weird when it was Optimus Prime. I gotta say.
Yeah. Anyway, that's the only thing Transformers really has going for it is 2010 Megan Fox.
Is George dropping this Asmodee news and then just bailing? So I'm with you. We understand they have to settle the debt somewhere. They understand this money had to move in some fashion. It was reassuring to me that they believed that there's enough here to carry that burden. Now, that's also a bigger risk because we always talk TCGs in their early years, right? Your mistakes, they jump off the page at you more. Right. They're more impactful. They're more meaningful. Magic has three bad sets in a row. The fourth one's fine. Barely anybody blinks, right? Your indie TCGs have two bad sets in a row. It might kill the entire game.
Oh, yeah, now, for sure.
Not calling this an indie TCG, but as a new TCG, and all that debt and all that weight sitting on top of this company, mistakes are going to be heavy. They got to get things right.
Yeah, but you don't give all the debt of the company to one part of the company without equipping them with the resources to handle the platforms that they're doing. And what we know about Star Wars and the Star Wars team is that they have essentially came out and said, we are going to equip this team for 9 sets. We're all in on it. It's going to be funded, that kind of thing. So that's where I see this as like a vote of confidence, not a burden.
If you want to take on my debt, Louis, I have that much confidence to you. I want to put that out there.
We are not the same business. If you and I
take on your debt and fails, you're still on the hook for that debt.
Got your back.
George, if you and I want to absorb lives and whatever, I'm happy to also take on your debt. I think
we'll have to did you just propose to George on the podcast?
Thank God I listened to Tay Tay. I know a bad man when I see him.
That's not where I was going with that, but right. Oh, there's worse men.
I can fix him. No, really, I can, but really, I can't.
The other side of that too is like, this is a really interesting timeline because I think we've talked about this. Like, Asmodee is really leaning into the TCG stuff, like Star Wars and Altered. Like, they're not going light on this stuff. Like, the big difference, George, from My Hero Academia and what they're doing with Star Wars and Altered is like My Hero Academia. My rep called me and was like, hey, do you want any My Hero Academia? And that was it. But for Star Wars and for Altered, they're like going to stores and teaching people how to play. They have a whole, you know, the whole network, and like everything is way more. They're way all in. Okay. It's not just like a license distribution thing.
They I remember hearing this publisher about My Hero Academia when they were telling me My Hero Academia. They're all in this time.
You were
this
way. I know you got burned on My Hero Academia. Yeah. You don't have to take it out on me. Like that.
I'm not taking it on Asmodee.
We bought Louis, very similar amounts of My Hero Academia. I made money. You probably still have it in your basement.
It's right next to his Pokemon.
They have Unlimited. They have My Hero Academia.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. You just wait till Star Wars Unlimited comes out. Star Wars Unlimited Squared comes out. That'll be really great for you guys, I think.
God.
Star Wars Unlimited.
When my take that Star Wars Unlimited has a second print box in December, I'm not going to be able to hold my breath on that one. I totally called that.
I won't either if it helps, honey.
God, it would be really bad. Really
yeah,
bad,
they need to not.
Yeah.
Well, so they can do that. They're all in this time, though. It's okay. They have 9 sets printed out. Okay. This is what Hasbro should do to WotC.
No. They should not saddle WotC with all of that of Hasbro.
All of its debt.
No, they should not do that. God, that is such
the ocean.
God-awful take.
They have that much confidence in them, Louie. They have that much confidence in them.
That's completely different.
They have that much confidence in them.
It's completely different.
How is it completely different? It's the exact same thing is what I'm arguing for.
No, because isn't some of the debt related to Asmodee too?
Not most. I mean, a very small portion.
I don't think we actually know what the percentage is.
Like, it. The way the article read seemed pretty clear that, like, it was a lot of debt from other things.
I don't know.
So, George,
it's like the article to you. You didn't read it. It's not George, my fault you can't read. George,
you just spent the last 5 minutes of your exposition between explaining to us and then leaving us to get coffee in the middle of your breakdown, which, by the way, great move. I'm going to say something just classic. Crazy and just be like,
all right. Classic.
You just outlined why
I care about as much as my coffee.
I actually prefer it because if he was here, he still wouldn't be listening and he would just be interrupting us.
Every time we thought, yeah, hey, Star Wars is going to be fine. It's not going to be a big deal. You said they should do this with WotC, right? And then Louis said, don't do that. So you think this would hurt Magic if they did this?
No.
You just said it was the same thing, though. So that's where I'm confused.
There's one important difference.
One is Magic the Gathering. The other is...
Hey, that's not an unimportant difference. That one has a 30-year history and one has a 30-minute history.
It's probably a lot. It's probably a lot more debt, difference.
It's probably a lot more debt. Way more than a 30-year
history. Hasbro's got to have a lot of debt.
And... also, this would become a separate company you could get shares in. It would be a standalone company.
Oh.
It would be the Altafox method. That would be the big difference.
I'm still all in on the Altafox method.
That's what I just argued for, you donkey!
No, it's not. That's not what Altafox was advocating. Altafox was the opposite. They were saying,
was not advocating to settle this thing with Hasbro's debt.
Altafox was split Magic. Let Magic go do what they do so you can invest more money in Magic to propel Magic further, whereas this is saddle them with crippling debt.
They are crippling debt. They're not going to get Magic's not getting out of this for free. This is how you get out of it. You
they're
say like
getting out of it all. It'll never happen.
Yeah, I'm not as convinced of that.
No, Altafox is dead. Rudy hasn't talked about it in 2 years.
I think Altafox is dead. I think that part's probably true.
That fox got slaughtered.
But like, listen, I do cool think paper. This is like if you're WotC, I think this is a pretty smart ask. Say like I'll take on your debt. You have to let me be free.
No.
Why no? That seems to make a lot of sense to me.
I don't. The debt part doesn't make. I think
they're going to have to buy themselves out, Louis. Like they're not going to let them out for free. This is the carrot.
Right.
This is the carrot.
You either settle on someone's debt or someone makes you an offer on that portion that you just can't turn down.
And that's not, I mean,
and then you sell Magic. And I don't think that's happening.
Yeah, they can't do that.
I think downsizing is the answer.
And I think that was the Altafox method. The Altafox method was to get a group together and buy Magic out from WotC to free
it. Separate out and buy part of it. Yeah.
Yeah. And your method is an internal conversation to split it out with a massive cloud of debt over it.
Does Hasbro have a ton of debt?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm assuming it's a company. I'm assuming it does.
I don't know. I think if I was Hasbro, I would sell off the assets that are not performing.
Who's buying them?
Somebody would buy Nerf.
Pennies on the dollar.
But Nerf is performing.
Huh?
But they sell Nerf. Like
Nerf was down 24% or something.
Yeah, it's still not. It's still like one of their better assets, though.
Get rid of anything that's not Magic. Sell everything that's not Magic, and then just make the company Magic the Gathering. It's the only thing that works. You have Magic the Gathering /D&D, Wizards of the Coast, and then everything else goes.
I was about to say, Louis, we already did that. All Wizards of the Coast,
but a worse version of it, because now you have nothing, and you still have all the debt.
Well, I mean, you sell the stuff to pay for the stuff.
How much do you think? How much do you think you're getting for the year? The
Furby is pumping right now. Sell low, sell high.
Furby.
No, they won't.
Sell high. This is simple,
TCG people. They're TCG people. They won't sell at the top. They will do what we do. We will sell when everything is crashing and burning at the bottom. That is when we sell. We believe in the game, baby. We believe in the game. You only sell
like
when everything's dead.
My Little Pony, Transformers, Play-Doh, like Play-Doh, Monopoly. Like these are not dead.
Play-Doh
alive.
Is completely dead. They even said it. They said it basically in the article. It was like Play-Doh, which has never sold before. Like,
I mean, like,
how is Play-Doh still a product? There are so much better toys to play with.
Wait, Play-Doh sweet?
No.
You can eat it now. It's crazy.
Play-Doh is like terrible toy. A terrible toy.
Yeah, it makes sense. You have no imagination.
You want to know what my kids do with Play-Doh?
They are your kids.
It's all in their hair. It's in their it's disgusting. Play-Doh is a terrible toy.
I mean it. I think this is what Hasbro should do. I think this is how you get WotC out from underneath it. You can let them do their thing. They can buy themselves out. And like it's easy to value. It's by far the easiest part of Hasbro to value, I would guess. Because there's no IP.
I'll give it to you. Let's do it, baby.
Don't you think that makes more sense?
It makes more sense than what's happening now, I guess, which is like...
And they're not going to do your method of like, let's sell things that are worthless for a lot of money to some sucker and then use that money to pay down the debt. Like, that's not the way the world works, unfortunately, for bigger companies. You can do that with Cryptic and all your other dead TCGs that you pump and dump. That doesn't work as well in like the corporate setting, though.
I can tell you a couple people who might take the bait.
is one of them me?
Look at Josh's background. Look at all this.
Josh just has a bunch of Nerf guns behind him one day.
It's one of them me, fellas.
Josh gets the contract to Play-Doh, and it's wrapped.
I'm getting the Furby contract. It's nothing is more nightmare inducing than those little fluff chickens.
This is assuming that WotC would do better on its own, and I think it would, but I'm not as convinced that as others are.
That's the evidence.
There is no evidence to support either side of that. That is a gut proposition. There is no evidence either of us have to support that.
I disagree.
What evidence would you point to?
Like the data shows the money. I mean, like the money is the evidence.
Yeah.
Like,
so Monopoly Go is really what we should be focusing on.
If instead of
the earnings call did applaud Magic quite a bit. Yes, Monopoly Go and Baldur's Gate were great, but it did applaud Magic quite a bit in that earnings.
I'm saying all of Wizards of the Coast. If Wizards of the Coast as a whole was up, I think it said it was like 20% or something like that. If Wizards of the Coast as a whole was up 20%, and you could use that 20% profit to push into Wizards of the Coast rather than burying Hasbro in the in the gutter, then you would be able to reinvest in yourself. They can't reinvest in themselves.
We had this conversation at the end of last year when Hasbro did the year end, right? It's like Wizards of the Coast earns all this money. Hasbro uses it to keep the entire company afloat.
Nerf guns. Yay. Nerf guns with Halo. Yay.
I think that has canceled with the sale of E1.
God, talk about things that are dead. Halo. What the hell happened to Halo?
Halo
is completely dead.
No, man. Halo is not what it once was. You know, I got Xbox Game Pass because it was $1 for 16 days. So I tried it. Games just aren't what they used to be, man.
Dude, no. I actually, my daughter, our internet went out. Beautiful day in West Virginia today. I was like, what do I do? Right? Like, it was like right at bedtime where we're usually like winding down, watching TV. So instead, we played the Nintendo, right? The original Nintendo. My daughter loves. Mario with numbers, not Mario with numbers. Mickey's Number Land on the original Nintendo. Great game. Anyway, teaches her numbers. It's great. My younger daughter was playing with my gigantic, the size of her head, Xbox controller the thing that's like this big. And I was like, oh my God, that was the greatest controller of all time. That thing was perfect.
I love that the original Xbox like controller thing. Was a, no, it was you're a like, tank.
You're
it
like, a, let me play this tank. Game. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a, but it was amazing in yeah. every way.
Mm-hmm.
And it was built to withstand the rage that you felt when you lost Xbox games.
You could throw that thing off the Empire State Building and it would be completely
fine. You lost the fight in game to your friend, you now had a weapon to take to the fight to win in person.
Yeah.
Perfect controller.
Yeah. And it even had the little break cord to it. So if you got too mad, it would break right off. Oh, and
pull the breakaway cord was game changing. Game changing.
PlayStation didn't have any of that crap.
Like, I mean, it did.
Little dinky controller.
I think the L1 R with the claw grip you had to have with the PS controller wasn't as intuitive.
Come on. All right, long tangent there. Sorry. I don't
know. We don't do that on this podcast. We don't do that
here. I don't know.
Something Taylor Swift.
I don't know if they would ever actually do it, but I
agree. I don't think they would either. But like, I do think if they're going to do it, this is actually a really smart way to do it.
I don't think
I think this is pretty brilliant from Embracer. I think this is actually like really smart from Embracer.
I'm from the Hasbro perspective, I guess I just see them as maybe a lover of Asmodee would be like, no, don't give them the debt. That's stupid. My company doesn't need your company. You know, maybe there's like six people in the world that feel so violently against, you know, the Asmodee parent company as we do against Hasbro. but I just see it. I guess I just see them as different stories with the debt. But I don't want to.
All right,
moving on. This is a interesting topics this week. Not our typical stuff. I like it. Back to our regular stuff. I thought we could talk about the one set a year thing. And really get into that on Sorcery today.
Back to our regular stuff. Here's a rubber chicken.
So there were some fake sorcery cards found.
Shout out today. To the Taylor song. I hate it here.
Before we get into the...
What'd you say?
Shout out to Taylor's song, I Hate It Here. Okay. Another great song from the album. Continue.
Before we get into the fake sorcery cards, though, and show the picture of that, the Courtesan Cup, the Spring Sorcery Social, I'll be
speaking
going
of
to
hating
this.
It here. Speaking of hating it here, where is it located, Louis?
In Baltimore.
pew, pew!
I'll be there. June
14th. I am proud of them for finding the one city less safe than Chicago. Oh, that's really impressive.
Stop it. None of the cities are safe.
This
is why you should live in rural America where nobody lives. This is why West Virginia is the GOAT. When everybody, listen, we're in the middle. When all the oceans cave in and we're going to be on the beach.
Wait. Your state's not in the middle.
We're basically in the middle.
You're nowhere near the middle.
We're nowhere near the coast.
There's an entire section of the country called the Midwest.
Yeah, see, like Ohio, West Virginia, we call ourselves the Midwest. I know we're not.
Nobody calls West Virginia the Midwest.
Nobody
calls West Virginia the Midwest.
Where are we then?
You're East Coast.
Yeah.
No, we're not on the coast. That's
you're
so East silly. Coast. That's so
you're weird. East Coast. You know
I am 10, I'm a 12-hour drive
you're,
from the coast.
Your nose in the air. New York bagel eaten.
You are
East Coast.
Calling West Virginia the
Jersey
Midwest.
Shore,
is lunacy.
This pump push up chapstick.
Baltimore, actually East Coast on the water. Close enough. They're on the water.
It's on some water.
Yeah, they're close enough. June 14th.
And now it's hard to get from one side of Baltimore to the other over that water.
Yeah, I don't know how you're going to get there, but you know, don't try the bridges. June 14th to the 16th. Use the code Parmesan Cheese, please.
Oh my God.
All caps with a hyphen between the three words.
Do I have to spell that correctly?
Parmesan. I'll leave a link in my Discord server. My Discord at kitchativity.com.
Not below. You gotta go in the Discord. Big brain stretch from Louie.
I won't remember to put it below. And it's already on my Discord server. So you can go to the courtesancup.com. There's lots of really sweet stuff going on. I'll be there hanging out. They asked me to do a booth. I'm not gonna do a booth. I'm
just gonna do a booth. Sell your playmat, son.
Hey. Buddy, say you'll be there one more time for me.
I'll be there for you. That's the thing you get from me. Tons of sorcery. You know what my favorite part of this is? Can I tell you guys the thing that I'm going to do the most? They're doing late night sorcery events. Like in the middle of the night sorcery events.
It's the middle of Baltimore. Why are you out at night?
You're going to be at Baltimore late at night.
Yeah. Like late night in the middle of the night sorcery events. I'm all right. All in, baby.
When Louis goes home to the Lord, would you please put your application for replacing him in the comment section below?
I'm all in on the late night sorcery events. All in.
You and everybody else in Baltimore. All in the late nights.
I do not want to have to make Guess the Card win the cards. But you have to make it out of Baltimore.
I made it to Reddit this week with the Guess the Card winning cards.
I set you up. You like that?
That wasn't you. It was funny. Okay.
Set you up to talk about it, you a-hole.
Oh, sorry. Thank you, Josh, for setting me up.
This is not our best work, boy.
You mentioned it like six times in the last 3 hours.
It was cool to see.
That's true.
I didn't see the Reddit post. I went to the Reddit post after somebody sent it to me. And like five people from my store had commented, oh my gosh, it's really cool to see my local LGS in West Virginia.
My local game store.
That sounds like that East Coast education. You guys get going out there.
Fake sorcery cards, everybody. Fake sorcery cards. These are the worst fakes that have ever been created for any TCG ever, for the record.
When's the video come out? When's the video?
What do you mean?
We're just in a cycle. When's the video about how to spot a fake?
You don't need that.
Oh, yet. Are they that bad?
They're really bad. There's pictures in the Discord server.
Oh no.
So shout out to my man. Who was it?
Making the fakes.
Shout out to Old Man
Magic.
This is a Tay Tay episode.
Oh, let me make sure I got it right. Well, shout out to Old Man Magic. He's shot these to me. He bought these on TCG Player. He bought one of them on TCG Player. That's actually not good. It's terrible.
You don't want them for sale on TCG Player.
Yeah. So he bought them on TCG Player. It was from a new seller.
They don't seem that terrible to me. What am I missing?
They are non-foil and the text is extruded.
What do you mean by extruded?
Like, look, zoom in on the text, and it's like the raised foil from sorcery foils.
Yeah, I will non-foil. Say, like, if you have not held one, like, that would pass. Like, that's...
It would not
pass. I don't know, man. These are bad.
These are bad. Really, really bad.
Like, the important thing is, like, be on the lookout, you guys. Like, that's the important part of this.
Could this fool somebody? Sure.
Like, also, it's like there's tons of Discords. If you get a new card that's valuable, put in the Discord, and they'll tell you what they think.
Yes.
Like, and it's worth it. Like, ain't nobody going to mock you for, like, being like, hey, is this real or not? Like, that's totally fine.
100%. And bring it to, if anything, you're going to the cup or whatever, bring it to Baltimore. If it's real,
Do not bring it to Baltimore in case it's real.
If it's real, you'll know because someone will hold you up for it. If it's fake, when they hold you up, you'll just leave.
You could actually be buying these fakes to give them in Baltimore if you get mugged.
Oh, that's a good plan.
Speaking of the Discords.
This is the drop wallet. I made this doobie with you for.
This is the drop wallet.
Somebody said.
Yes.
Somebody said on the Facebook group, they're like, oh my gosh, this means sorcery has really made it. There's fakes. Hold on. It gets better. That was not the punchline, George.
Could have been.
He goes, not even MetaZoo had fakes. And all the replies were, MetaZoo, their fakes got through PSA, integrated slabs from PSA. Oh my gosh.
The fake counterfeit arc for new TCGs is always wild. Always wild. I mean, it always seems to catch people off guard that it happens. Like, it's coming.
Yeah. I mean, we kind of all knew it was coming. I would say this is why you should make sure you're buying from people who you trust and who you know. Yeah. What?
Nothing.
Like, this guy bought this from a TCG Player seller that had zero feedback. A $500 card.
He better get a refund. He's contact sure. TCG Player.
But if you're not confident that you know what you're doing, don't buy a $500 card from a seller with zero feedback on TCG Player. Like, buy it from somebody you know or a seller that has higher feedback on TCG Player that you can trust.
Reach out to Louis. I think you have the first ever. Like, full foil alpha set. You got every card you could ever want.
Definitely not the first. The first I ever heard about. Oh, you guys should have paid more attention.
No.
I wanted to be the first, but I was too...
I believed in you.
Just like
Embracer believes in Asmodee, I believe in you.
I decided
and I saddled you with all of my debt.
I decided.
George did the belief and I did the debt. And
so yeah, first fakes. But yeah, I don't know.
That's yeah, they don't they're again. It's so hard to approach this from someone who's been in this. I did the math the other day. It's been more than two decades of TCGs, which made me sad a little bit.
For you? But,
yeah.
Wow. Happy birthday. Yeah.
But then like these seem so obvious now, but I realized like you have to approach that like again, you made a good point. What if you're new?
Yeah.
I was talking to another store the other day about fakes for Magic. The Magic fakes are getting really, really good.
Yeah, they are.
Really, really good. But anyway, I don't anticipate there to be a massive growth in the fakes on Sorcery. I don't think the volume is there for fakes.
There is no volume.
Yeah.
No.
So anyway.
Have fun. When is Balmer?
Baltimore is June 14th through the 16th. My whole fam's going. We're taking the kids.
You're not bringing your kids to Baltimore.
We're going to the aquarium. What?
The good part is your wife's a doctor, so she can help.
Why are you so afraid of things?
I'm only afraid of Baltimore and Chicago.
Is it because you can't defend yourself?
I have a black belt.
You do not have a black belt.
I got my certificate.
He literally went online and bought a black belt.
I got a black belt, son.
I do not have a black belt.
If you flip it over, it's brown.
It's been a few years since I practiced. It's been a few years since I practiced.
Black belt, like when you were 13?
A little bit younger.
Okay, hold on. You don't have a black belt you can wear.
Oh, no. I'm not sure I have a black belt my leg can wear. <that's good. laughs> Like my dad thought would teach me discipline. Jokes on him.
All right, let's get depressing. Cryptic. God.
Oh wow, that got real.
Yeah. So Cryptic. I guess we should do a little rundown of Cryptic, huh? Cryptic used to be a more larger thing on the podcast that we talked about quite a bit. One of us on the podcast was all in on Cryptic. Our store.
One of them said that they would quit their job to cover Cryptic if it came out before another certain game.
I did say that. I know.
It's my favorite Louis line ever.
I did say that. I meant that. Cryptic, I still think from a store perspective and a gameplay perspective, was so easy to teach and so quick to learn. And worked so well at my store. I mean, it was crazy. We had a 48 person Cryptic event, the largest Cryptic event in the country.
I had second largest. And I was first.
I think the Worlds that came out a couple of weeks later was like 12 players.
I think it was less. I think it was eight, wasn't it?
We had a huge.
All right, shout out to Taylor Swift's song again. How did it end? Another great song.
There it is. Super fun. Super awesome.
Cryptic today.
But then set two came out, and just lots of issues, mistakes. We talked about all this on the podcast. We won't get in it. We talked about it on the podcast. And then what we said on the podcast was like, hey, for now, like we're going to see how this works out. It seems like it's not, but they said that they would give us an update and stores an update. Then they gave eBay boxes. They did a bunch of other stuff. They never gave us a really,
they made every mistake I think you can make.
Yeah. They created mistakes in a lot of ways.
Like the boxes were terrible, and it's like I don't want to be mean. I will be mean about this.
We already did this.
Not gonna be mean about this.
We already did this. Today or 2 days ago, Tanner finally came out and gave us an update that I think we have been waiting for. George and I certainly have been waiting for a lot.
George has not been waiting for this update one iota.
We still talk about Cryptic. I would say 2 to 3 times a week in my store. I just took down the Cryptic uncut sheet from my store that last week when I got my Pokemon uncut sheet.
And this is why we don't think your store counts. If you're ever like, why don't you think my store data counts? You still talk about Cryptic. That's all you got to know.
You and George have very different reasons why stores don't count.
Yeah.
Both of them don't count.
It was a huge part of our store. Like
I know.
It was a huge part of our
store. And that's why your store, that's why the store doesn't count. You nailed it.
Anyway. But Tanner came out and put out a whole long message essentially saying, we don't know where it's going to go. Summary is, we don't know where it's going to go. We don't think that this is going to be able to be a viable business for us anymore.
He didn't say that in a weird way. He said the TCG is not viable. Yeah, the idea is viable.
Yeah.
Which I will say, I don't the strangest that. Take I've yeah. ever heard.
Essentially, their set that everyone's been waiting for, that was, you know, that Atonement was supposed
to... It's one set a year. I think that's the most bullish part of this thing. They have not done a set this year. It's been about 12 months. One set a year. Hope you boys are ready to see the moon.
Their set that was supposed to be Atonement, and it was literally called Atonement, and Save the Game, and everything, essentially, that they've been pumping for the last 8 months. They're going Perfect to sell... Timing. I guess they're going to sell or make sure it's distributed somehow as like
play sets.
Full play sets.
They said people... they're thinking about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was an option.
Yeah.
They're lost. They're lost.
Well,
here's what they need to do. They need to sell the company. Like, right. I do not get this.
I was going
to
go there.
Like, they need to sell the company. They can't make this work.
Yeah. Like, they even said they kept investing their own money and it didn't work because it was affecting
I won't get into that. I have some issues with the way that was phrased. I'm going to leave that alone, though, because it seemed like they might be considering lost revenue from former jobs as part of a loss, which I think is a very strange thing to do.
I'm going
to
leave it alone, but let me go ahead and talk about it.
Yeah. Well, that's
some intriguing math.
Yeah, as someone who's outside of the ecosystem you guys are in as the business of TCGs, as a fan, I thought that was a weird point to constantly.
That was a weird string.
It came up a couple times, and as a fan, it struck me as a weird point.
There is no IP without the TCG. Nobody's buying these comic books without the card game to support it.
Wait.
I agree with that currently. I will argue one side for them. There is a large part of the very small crypto community. A large part of the very small crypto community that loves the IP and wants to see and they had originally talked about doing a video game, not just a TCG game, but doing a full-fledged video game in the Cryptic world, which I still think would be really cool. The whole lore behind Cryptic is awesome. It's really well done. It's really well written. It's not the same company that existed, though. Like, it's not... Their entire company was built around selling cards. They should just pivot and make a whole nother company that is the lore, is what they should do there.
I'm so glad we've gotten here. Yeah. Lou, I think you've always been here. This conversation has been happening for the better part of a year and a half on this podcast. Yeah. They're a TCG company. And if the TCG is failing, they're not a successful company. There's not a pivot there. That's not how that works.
I mean, I've talked to people, who are relatively interested in that would want to continue the Cryptic TCG side of the thing. But I just don't, I don't, by the way that they talk, it's like, what do you sell a dead TCG for? Like a dead company? Like, how do you sell a card game company that
they they need to sell it on the keep and retain partial ownership. So they have some upside. They get a little bit of cash in their pocket, but they need to keep some ownership. Like, that's the way you can structure the deal.
Right.
And I'll say this, like, I was very skeptical of Genesis Reboot. Very skeptical of Genesis. They're doing what they need to do.
Yeah.
They're doing what they need to do. Like, they're selling boxes. They have Southern Distribution.
They have distribution.
They're selling thousands of boxes. There's no question about that.
I do not buy that. I
think they said this. I mean, like, now, like, I don't think it's 20,000 boxes.
We've been here before.
I don't think it's 20,000 boxes. I think it's a few thousand boxes.
We're not arguing that they didn't say this.
I think they did. And, like, listen, that's going to be if Cryptic's going to come back, and I'm pretty skeptical of this, to be honest. I'm way more skeptical than Louis is of this. I've been on team gameplay doesn't matter for a very long time.
I think the people behind the game matters way more than gameplay.
Yeah, I guess, but I don't know how you're going to bring this game back. Like, in some ways, like, you know, when you bet on an indie, you're betting on the designer and the owner. Yeah. And those bets tend to go terribly. like those bets tend to go terribly. It did in Cryptic's case. I don't know. Like, I don't know what Cryptic without Tanner looks like. And I don't think, I think clearly this has been mismanaged.
Yeah, I think the Vantors. I mean, I was a huge.
I don't care about the Vantor.
I was all in on the Vantor. It seems like the Vantor took a lot of resources, time, energy from.
I don't care about that. When you ask somebody to kickstart something and you say it's going to the Vantor, then it takes months and months and months to do the Vantor. And the answer is, it's because I'm on top of production. Production better not suck.
Yeah, I agree. yeah, production was the worst.
And so, like, what were you doing with our time and money?
I still have, like, flashbacks to that week when I got all my cases that were opened by somebody at the factory.
That was a rough week.
That was
a
rough week. I still don't understand the van tour in the context of 2024. And, like, how much of a financial burden can that be? I at one point we were talking about it all the time. I mapped out, like, what does it really cost? Gas, staying at, you know, a hotel. What does it really cost?
In the van is the point of the van.
But even if you don't, right? Even if you
don't, listen.
It's like, from a company perspective, it's not that much. It was something that, like, I could move some things and swing it, and it would be
very impactful. I think it was mismanaged. There's no doubt about that. Like, I just don't know how you save this game. Like, they didn't produce enough boxes.
Guys, this is the world event. This is indies. This is indie. This is the point, Louis. You and I have had this conversation a million times. You don't have the runway when mistakes pile up.
Yep.
There's often no coming back. Well, I know we want to do content. We want to be like, oh, how do you save this? Let's be real for a second. You don't.
There's no coming back with the fervor of the start of the game, right?
Like, and if you're not going to do that, then it's just you're hanging out until you die.
How many people do you think, like, actually want the next set, Louis?
Oh, 50? I think
I was going to say 20.
Yeah, I would say I would buy a couple play sets in that.
I know
set
you would. I love you. So
I would have. I told you.
I know this. Before
all this, they were talking about maybe doing a Kickstarter. I was like, George, I will be the first person
and the only
to back that as an LGS.
Like, you got the LGS tier.
I would have gone.
God, thank God he got rid of that idea. I mean, like, so let's say each one of the 50 buys a case, which they wouldn't do. That's 300 boxes.
Right.
No, you're not close.
Right. And we're not happy about that, but that's the way it is. That's reality.
It could have happened right after set two.
Absolutely.
Hey, we made a mistake. We need to pivot really quickly.
Yes.
You sell, the new owners say, hey, we're going to reprint all the boxes. We're going to give them the stores. We're going to take loss on this. Give them the stores to get the right product out there that works. Instead, they didn't sell. They didn't get help. They went to eBay. They showed how little people actually want the boxes now on eBay. And they sold a couple hundred of them.
And that was my favorite.
And they, you know, they ruined the relationship with all the LGSs. And so now that's where you are. And you don't have any footing. But if you did a complete reset and you built the brand again, there's a world if somebody wanted to put the time, energy, money, and resources behind it. I think you can still do something with it. But you can't do that if on the second side of that, they also want to keep the IP, keep the brand, keep all that
stuff. And the problem is it becomes a labor of love. And if you're adopting Cryptic at this point, it's a labor of love for something that somebody else made. So your tie is never going to be as strong as the creator.
That's fair.
It's not a business move. It's not a financial move. It's not a future move. It's a labor of love. You're doing it because this is your passion. And that is a hard sell when you weren't involved in the very beginning.
Yeah. It's sad though. I love that team. And it sucks. But we said we would talk about it whenever they gave us an update, and they gave us an update. So
down bad.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on. Oh, MetaZoo.
Speaking of down bad. This episode is be called Down Bad, the May the To Be With You version.
I'm gonna read this letter. I'm gonna let you guys see the letter because it's amazing. How do I do that? Where's my camera? Can I just switch it? Is that going to break everything? We do it live, boys. We do it live. So I received this letter in the mail. I knew nothing about it. They didn't tell me.
No, we can't see it still, right?
I know. I'm working on it. I'm trying to not have to edit later. I didn't do any...
There's a negative 1 million percent chance I'm able to read it.
That's a pamphlet. It's a brochure.
I didn't do anything to get this. They just sent it to me. Just wait, boo-boo. Holy moly. The Flatwoods Monster Museum has the thing that said featured in Fallout 76 in MetaZoo. This is from the museum at the Flatwood Monster. All right. This is the owner, I believe, the museum director of the Flatwoods Monster Museum in Braxton.
I think it's to the museum.
Huh?
thought those were tickets. You get playtester cards. Is that playtester cards?
Hold on. All right. I'm just showing you guys, and then I'm going to go here because I can't read like that. This is from Andrew Smith, who is an artist.
The goat.
This is, dear Louis, I wanted to send you some of my MetaZoo fan art 2023 submissions that I made myself just for fun. As you probably knew, the announcement for MetaZoo's closure happened pretty much at the same day the fan art winners were supposed to be announced. I work with a printer in West Virginia for printing promotion materials, so I had them printed in a 10-card set for me using my fan art submissions. Don't try to fold these.
That's a true fan of the podcast. Respect.
The paper is not normal. The paper is not normal TCG paper quality. I've also included an autographed card for each of George and Josh.
That's what they call them, the goat.
You guys could decide who gets what. I figured at some point you would need me to mail them. I had high hopes that my Flatwood Monster submission would be accepted because I thought it would be a good story for a news outlet or two to run with. The guy who runs the Flatwood Monster Museum in West Virginia had a fan art accepted for MetaZoo. Oh, well. Anyway, I hope you like these. If you want to see my submissions, have them check my artist account on Instagram at Andrew Smith Artist, the way that you think that's spelled. Thanks for all the great content. I watch all the time. I particularly like the May the Zoo Be With You podcast. Sincerely, Andrew Smith, Museum Director. P.S. I had an idea that I would reach out to you to be a sponsor for the MetaZoo Minute as the Flatwood Museum. Anyway.
We could have had two sponsors. We could have had three if it was him, the surprise next week, and Tay-Tay.
So here's the Flatwood Monster.
That's actually really good.
Yeah,
that's actually really good.
His fan
art. This is really good.
Yeah, it's so good.
God, I could not believe they managed to mess this up.
Wait, this doesn't look like MetaZoo art at all. This looks good.
Oh, it looks like MetaZoo art.
Absolutely, MetaZoo art.
MetaZoo art was good.
MetaZoo art was great.
Yeah,
he gets messed up everything but the art.
Maybe this guy. I like this.
This is a clay. He made a clay thing, like an old Pokemon clay art, and then that's the river, the West Virginia river everybody talks about in the background, and then the Grafton monster.
It's like a reminder of how frustrating this experience was for me, I'll be honest.
This is the type of thing that I think, like...
Absolutely. This is what MetaZoo should have been.
It could have been just so good.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
The Mothman Museum, the same thing. Like, they could have done... There's so many of these things. All, and maybe, like, West Virginia, you just have so many of them because we're West Virginia. And, like, you know, we think it's real. But, like...
that you think that's real and cryptic's real, those two things.
But like,
you believe in Mothman and cryptic.
But there are so many museums and things around all these states and throughout the country that could have been a foundational point for this thing to really start. And instead, they scam people and they just did everything so wrong, man. Everything they said they were going to do, they did it differently. It's very annoying, but this meant a lot to me.
Yeah, that was great. Thank you.
I've seen Andrew a lot in the comment section over the last years, and
I like that.
I thought it was pretty cool.
A reminder. Like, I'll die on this hill. MetaZoo had the best fans.
Oh yeah, you still like, see it. Like the fact absolutely. That boxes have gone up in price since the game died, like, is wild.
MetaZoo did not deserve the ending it got.
No.
Let me walk that back. It clearly did. MetaZoo fans did not deserve the ending that it got.
Sure.
And God knows the artists did not deserve the ending that they got.
Yeah.
It makes me really angry because I mean this, like, they're the best fans.
Yeah. So I know Mike still watches the podcast. So
and his parents.
Mike and your parents, if you still watch the podcast, that's what could have been.
Like, I looked up this guy's Instagram to check out some more of his art. I just sent you a link, Louis. You need to show that on screen.
Okay.
Look at that first. I just went on his Instagram. This is hilarious.
I don't have Instagram on my computer.
He's got a May the Zoo Be With You meme on his Instagram right next to his fan art.
He totally tagged me 13 weeks ago, but I'm never on Instagram. So
I
like that a lot.
That's hilarious.
That's amazing. That's
really great.
That's amazing.
I really like that. I mean, God, it makes me so angry. It's like, they deserved, the fans and the artists deserved so much better than they got from this company.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never, like, this is the good side of indies, right? This is what could be and what should be. The fun stuff like this.
Well, you can see, like, Rudy's anger in this. Like, Rudy's, like, very clear. Yeah. Like, he called it, like, the most mismanaged company in history. Yeah. Like, it's like, I think it's like this stuff. It's like,
Mike's the goat. Mike's the goat. Mike's the goat. All things George said for years. I'm sorry,
Cryptic Boy. Were you talking?
Hey, listen.
Are you talking, Tanner? I didn't hear you. I never said I would quit my job for MetaZoo.
Buddy, I wear my failures. You can't come at me. I wear them every day.
You liked Mike way too much.
I won't get into my theories.
You're way too in love with Mike.
Wait, why won't you get into your theories? This has been a very dry podcast number.
Give us your theories.
Are fun.
Your current podcast stats are pretty low. Give us something that will.
Yeah, you're not doing great. I mean, like, I guess your post game press conference is not going to look great today.
I still think we need to turn into Around the Horn. We have a guest.
I'm in.
The Horn was a hilarious joke.
We have a guest from the comment section every week. Who moderates in and moderates and gives us points based on the things we say.
You guys would be destroyed by me.
We are a wild mix of Around the Horn and Whose Line Is It Anyway.
If we had a random viewer, it would be one week it's all George winning, and then the next week it would be no George.
Yeah.
That's fine. You get to go home early. You go to bed at a reasonable hour. Yeah, I'll leave it at that.
All right, we'll do George's MetaZoo takes later. Goat Kana. What are we doing? So something sold out super quick. The Chicago, is it Chicago?
2,000 seats. Windy City, America's second most dangerous city.
Only 2,000 seats. Doesn't seem like enough, to be honest.
You guys said 2,000 seats was enough. You guys said a month ago, I said, how many seats is enough? You said 2,000.
They should anticipate growth.
George, you said 2,000 was enough.
2,000
was enough. They do 2,000. And I knew this would happen.
More importantly, though, the Inklands Championships.
It sold out in 20 seconds.
The Inklands Championships have been pumping.
Imagine that. You do something in society, it sells out.
The Inklands Championships, I think, are such a good example of what TCGs should be doing to grow their great games. Everything that I would ask for a company to do, chef's kiss. So good. Shout out to Donald.
Best friend Donald.
My best friend. Shout out to Donald, who has gone to.
You said five.
Tonight he's at his fifth event. Actually, he texted me. Let's see how he did. He won one and got. Oh, he's 4-0. One more round of Swiss 14 minutes ago. So he's already won one. Donald. He's already won one. And
you can find him at scruffygaming.org.
Sure.
I think he actually just sidecars on gamergrove.gg now.
He won?
What?
Sidecars. Oh. Like all the stuff that he wins, he sells on Louis' website.
Is that true?
No, but I would do that for him if he needed me to sell.
Yeah, that's not true. That's not true at all.
But he's been going to all the events, and he's just been like so cool to see all these stores. And one of the stores, he was talking to them, and they're like, it's just so awesome to see people coming from all around the state to events again. Yeah. And like, man, I think that is so cool. Like, they are doing the thing that Magic used to do. Like they are getting
people. I loved watching Josh's face as you completed that sentence.
They are getting people to travel.
What do you say, Scars? Not paying attention.
They are getting people to travel around the state, around the region, to go to events. Donald's gone to 5 events in the last 7 days.
He's there at like 10 o'clock on a Wednesday.
Yeah. They started the event at 6 o'clock. I'm not saying the stores are good at running them. They started their event at
6 o'clock on a Wednesday, man.
Wednesday night. That's they have dedication. A whole other round of set with Swiss. Then the three, they'll be done at like 1-2 a.m. on
a. There's a reason they call it Goat Kana.
Can we do a weekly segment on the podcast? Which TCG is Donald crushing now?
He's all in on Lord Kana. He doesn't do anything else anymore. Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's he won't play Star week. Wars. And he's Kana. A huge Star Wars fan. It's really annoying.
He won't play Star Wars?
Mm-mm.
Why would he? You already have Goat Kana.
He
won't touch it.
He doesn't want to buy into a whole nother game.
Yeah, he doesn't want to do your next pump and dump. There's a shocker. Smart move, Donald.
Star Wars is not my next pump and dump.
You're right. It's your current pump and dump. I apologize.
It's not. When have I tried to sell any of my viewers anything Star Wars other than before release. I tried to sell
boxes.
I tried to sell to my patrons for like at my cost. Nobody bought it. You had
trouble selling it at your cost?
Nobody bought it. It was up there for like, I think it was up there for like $80 a box.
I've been
4 months
sold out. I'm trying to get my hands on whatever I can.
This was before release. Well, you would have been able to buy it if you liked it before it started pumping. But where the tendies go, the passion follows.
I did. You, buddy.
You did not. It was after release. I'm talking about before release.
No.
You never told once asked me.
Stop. No.
Send
no.
me the receipts. Send me the receipts.
Buddy, we had a whole conversation about this.
I'm so happy right now.
I had to go to a dangerous, dangerous area to procure TCGs. I had to talk to some dangerous, shady people and do some horrific things to get my hands on these boxes. Things I'm not proud of and will never say in pleasant company.
Wow. I don't want to know.
If I'm at the Black Dog.
I think the Inkland stuff's going really good. There's the new set has some interesting mechanics. I think it's going to really make the game go faster. So,
do you ever know
shift is why do we not have allocations yet?
I'm looking it up right now.
Shift is a mechanic that
we don't have our numbers yet.
Yeah, that's wild. Can we listen? Can we have an actual conversation for a minute, George?
Yeah, what do you want?
Shift is a mechanic that used to require just slightly less mana. Not mana, though. What do they call it? Resources?
Ink.
Used to just cost less ink. But now the new cards are like, it's basically you can discard a card to do it, or you can sacrifice life to do it, or whatever it is. I think it's going to speed up the card game quite a bit, which is really, really good. People really like the fast paced nature of card games right now. And so that's kind of a cool thing. What?
Nothing. I'm in
Marvel Snap.
Everybody talks about Snap
and One Piece.
I agree with you.
The first three or four turns of Star Wars are like, you can get the first three or four turns in like 20 seconds. Like it's like boom, 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 boom,
boom,
like
boom, 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 boom.
So good.
The most popular format in Arena is best of one. So makes sense.
Yeah. Anyway, Goat Kana, doing Goat Kana things.
Of course. Of course it is. There's a reason they call it Goat Kana.
Okay. That's the end of this boring podcast. Oh, no. What else you got?
Ursula comes out, in a couple weeks, right?
I
think it's in 2.5 weeks. God, we should have our allocations by now.
I know. It's kind of weird that we don't. This is the one, boys.
How do you think it's gonna affect this?
You think it's gonna get delayed?
I'm worried about. I'm surprised we don't have allocations yet. I'll be honest.
What did you ask?
How do you think Co-op's gonna fare?
Hold on. First, how many times you've been asked this question, in any context?
Not that many. I don't think that Co-op's gonna move boxes very much.
Really?
Yeah. People are more like I thought four player, because early on at my store at least, people were really excited about four player. I thought Lorcana was going to be a more casual win for people, mm-hmm. but it's turning into a pretty competitive, like exciting, more competitive side.
Bless for some reason.
But maybe it's just the Inkland stuff right now.
Yeah, I think they're threading that needle, I think, pretty well. The competitive versus casual. I think they're doing a good job of threading that needle right now.
Yeah. It'd be interesting.
I did hear they said that they also gave some news this week about how they're going to handle bans.
How are they going to handle bans?
They said right now there's no need to.
Don't ban anything. I love it.
I mean, like they gave.
I some love tests. Games that playtest their games so they don't have to ban things.
I disagree with
right,
that.
That's a win.
The key is to not playtest your games.
We didn't playtest this at all.
I love that. I want you to know that will always be my favorite TCG memory, because you tried so hard to be positive the entire segment. And like you just got angrier the more you thought about it.
Didn't play test this at all. Just lie.
That's my favorite thumbnail.
Just lie to me.
Just that clip.
I love that was your take.
Made
lie to me. Lie to me, baby. I want to love you.
Quit my job for this.
You and Cryptic. You and Cryptic were the chosen ones.
You were meant to bring balance to the TCGs, not destroy them.
If I could just remove a year.
Then Star Wars brings balance to the Force, ironically.
I played Star Wars last night. I loved it. Every minute of it. It was so much fun.
God.
The game was so good.
Where the 10 days go.
I made $30 last night at Star Wars. We had
people pretty much playing Star Wars?
Yeah, I was running the event.
Most of us, when we play TCGs, we don't make anything. We spend.
Well, my fault. All right, everyone.
Hell, you're like, yeah, Louie, you greedy bastard. You made $30.
All in on the tendies. $30.
Thanks for being here, everyone. hey, we had some more t-shirt sales this week, George. It wasn't from your selling, though. It was from my live stream. A lot of people bought t-shirts. So you can go to kitchentabletcg.com and pick up one of these super cool kitchen table TCGs. It comes with a token, which is also really cool. So that's cool. Go subscribe to Josh's channel over at Hometown TCG. Go be a channel member. Get access to the sales data for Modern Horizons 3. You can see
everyone gets that. The members get early access to content and discounts on box openings. That's why I'm sold out on Star Wars, dude. The members gobbled it up.
And join the Discord server at kitchentabletcg.com. If you support the channel on that, you get access to all the stuff. And then, spoiler, everybody, we have a sponsor for May. For the podcast in May, we have our first sponsor. So next week,
Tay-Tay?
Next week, stay tuned for our sponsor and prepare yourself to make sure you represent the Kitchen Table TCG family well in the sponsor.
I want you to know I'm very stressed about having a sponsor. I want you to know I'm very, very stressed.
No, don't be. Our sponsor is literally perfect for us. It is so perfect for us. We can still be ourselves.
I'm not known to play well with others. That would not be the words people use to describe me, I would argue.
You don't say.
This will help you not play well with others.
Are we selling baseball bats? Is our sponsor Rawlings? Like, what's going on here?
No, that's the door prize at the Baltimore Sorcery event. It's a baseball game.
That will not help you in Baltimore. They do not baseball bats there.
Be kind to the people around you, and may the zoo be with you.
And also with you, Louie.
And also with you.